You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. You are listening to Dare to Love, which is a radio show by the CAVA, Chicago Archdiocesan Vocation Association. This is your host, Sister Lovina Pamet. I'm a Franciscan Sister of the Sacred Heart, and I'm the Coordinator of Religious Vocation Ministries through the Office for Religious in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And today we have a special guest, Father Adam McDonald. Good morning, Father Adam.
Good morning, Sister Lovina.
And Father Adam is a Divine Word missionary, and he's also a member of the Chicago Archdiocesan Vocation Association, CAVA. And Father, can you tell us more about yourself, your community, and where you're coming from today?
Sure. Thanks for having me, first of all, Sister Lovina. It really is an honor to be here on the program. My name, as you said, is Father Adam McDonald, and I've been a Divine Word missionary now for 25 years, professed, and 19 years as a priest. I grew up north of Detroit in a place called Flint, Michigan. You've heard of our water woes, and we're very grateful for all the prayers, concern, and support people have offered. And it was from there that I began to discern a call to religious life and to serve God, and through that, entered the Divine Word community already with my first year of college formation, and that took me to the state of Iowa, where we have our college seminary. And after 12 years of initial formation, was sent out on mission to other parts of the world, and had a number of assignments before 8 years ago, interestingly enough, was called all the way around the world back to where my vocation started. And I again reside at Divine Word College Seminary near Dubuque, Iowa, in the town of Epworth. And from there, then go out now about probably 90% of the time, traveling around the country to be among young people and invite them to consider God's call in their life, to know about our community, to know about religious life in general, and invite them to be bold and courageous in their response to God's call. So today, I literally come to you from Epworth, Iowa, yesterday, to our Divine Word headquarters north of Chicago in Techney, Illinois, last night. And then to get here this morning from Techney, I had a stop along the way in Rogers Park and offered Mass with the Holy Spirit Missionary Sisters and 45 children there gathering this summer for a summer camp program.
That's wonderful. So you grew up at Flint, Michigan.
I did. Mm-hmm.
And so for those, that was a few years ago when there was a water problem.
Yeah, it started in about 2014.
Okay.
And I had long since left home, but got wind of it through my family.
Okay, so how mm-hmm. how is the town now?
Well, it's a work in progress to replace a lot of water pipes to each house. What's interesting now is when you visit Flint, the sign of progress mm-hmm. is the potholes on the road, because what happens is they've come along the major arteries in town under which the water lines lay, and they've been digging up those water lines and replacing them and connecting new pipes to each house. So when you go down the road, you have to remind yourself that each pothole you hit is a sign of progress, because that means it's been patched over and that house has new pipes.
Interesting.
And eventually they will, you know, re-asphalt everything when they're finished. But it's a work in progress.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So how did you meet your community, and who inspired you to join this particular congregation?
Sure. That is a great question. I thank you for asking. And it's really a very unlikely story. I hope this will inspire people just to be open to the many ways in which God calls us and gets our attention. I was discerning in my junior and senior years of high school a real serious call, even at that young age, a pretty serious feeling that God was calling me to priesthood. And at that time, did not know anything about religious life. All I remember looking back is that there were some priests who wore these black robes at one parish in our town, and we would go to that parish for confession so we wouldn't have the danger of our parish priest recognizing our voice. And at the time, I just thought, okay, they wear black robes. I now know that they were the Augustinian friars. God bless them. They were very good confessors to me and my family. But that was really, my knowledge of religious life was very little. So fast forward through my junior and senior years of high school, I'm already kind of walking down the road of seriously discerning diocesan priesthood, which was what I knew. And out of the blue, I get a postcard in the mail. And it's from the Divine Word Missionaries announcing they have a college seminary where you can get your college degree and discern the call to be a priest and a religious missionary all around the world. And that just stopped me in my tracks. I thought, well, wait a minute. Number one, how did they get my name? What's Divine Word? Is it Catholic? It doesn't sound Catholic to me. Where is Iowa? It's like, Iowa where? All I knew is Iowa had a lot of corn. And it just really stopped me in my tracks. I thought, of course, I was getting literature from lots of schools and universities. I was a bit of a nerdy kid and good grades and all this. So I was getting recruited, you could say, by a lot of different colleges. And this postcard was just so other than the other materials I was receiving. It was not glossy. It didn't have a fine finish. It didn't have any pictures. It was just a little computer printout. And come to find out later on, how they even got my name was after taking the ACT, American College Test, in my junior year, the standardized test.
Wow.
So these tricky missionaries, they subscribed to a referral service at that time, and they would pay money to ACT to get the names of young men who had taken the test. And in the part of the test that asks about your interests and your preferences and your plans for the future, what you might study, somehow I was matched with Divine Word College Seminary. So they literally paid to get my name. And I understand I will go down in history as the one Divine Word missionary professed and ordained who did come through that first point of contact through a postcard in the
Interesting. Because at the time, that of course, that was before the World Wide Web, the Internet.
Correct. So in terms of who inspired me then in this particular community, it might surprise you to know that it wasn't necessarily a member of the community, but it was the priest of my home parish, St. Michael in Flint.
Wow.
He was my pastor for 16 years, from the time I was 5 up until the age of 21. And my first part-time job, long story short, was working in the rectory office after school for Father and helping there with odd jobs. And so I got to know Father Matthew very, very well. And when I first told him of my interest in diocesan priesthood, he really, really opened his door to pray for me, to guide me, recommended books to read, and really would offer me some sage advice. And so I first went to him with this postcard and said, Father, I have a dilemma. I kind of had everything planned out. I'm going to the diocese. I see my whole future laid out before me. And this kind of got me to stop in my tracks and say, wait a minute. And Father Matt was actually very encouraging that I should look into what this community was about, because he said there was something that got your attention. So God wants you to learn something, if nothing else. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to join the community, but there's something you can learn. And so I really took that to heart. And so I contacted by phone, but we didn't have the web, as you say, and received the glossy brochures, the pictures, and the information about the community. What struck me very much was when a priest member of the Divine Word community on their vocation team, who did then what I do now, contacted my parents and indicated that they had received my name and was going to be passing through our area and would like to pay a visit. And
oh, hang on a minute.
Sure.
So you were not 18 yet at the time?
I was not.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because you were a junior.
I was a junior.
All right.
So I was probably 16, going on 17 at the time.
Okay.
And so through my parents, we arranged that Father would come to visit the house. And the funniest thing, I can still remember Father coming to our house. I'm one of 6 kids. I'm number 5 in the family. And to this day, I cannot tell you where my siblings were. I've never heard my house so quiet. It was just my mom, my dad, Father Pat, and myself. I don't know if my brothers and sisters got paid or were put on some kind of sleeping medication, but they were just, it was uncharacteristically quiet. And it gave us a wonderful opportunity to just to tell Father my story of how I felt the call and what attracted me to Divine Word, and of course ask lots of questions, and my parents got to ask questions. That led to an invitation to visit the seminary for Come and See Discernment Weekend, which I did. And then the real dilemma was, okay, I am interested in the diocese. I'm also attracted to Divine Word. What do I do? Well, as you can imagine, I had to pray and I had to discern. I talked to some wise people who gave me some really good advice. And I kind of got the thought that, you know, the diocese was kind of what I already knew, and it wasn't going anywhere. And I could always come back to it. But this divine word just kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, I need to know what this is before I kind
it's
of walk
unknown,
away from it.
It's an right.
unknown. And so I said, even if I just give it a try and see what happens.
That's the key. Give it a try.
Yeah, I did. And here I am all these years later from that try. So the vocation director of the diocese was a little bit disappointed, you could say. And I totally get that now as a vocation director, that it was just God's will that I go in this other direction. So.
But as a vocation director or minister, that is what you go through, is you have to open up your heart, help the young person.
Absolutely.
And allow them to be guided.
I couldn't
where
agree
God
more.
Is calling them. Because
yes.
it's not up to us. It's really up to the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to lead
Amen.
Them. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful story, your discernment. So now you're with the Divine Missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of, well, other than, you know, being proclaimed missionaries and you've been missioned everywhere,
correct.
What do you bring as your gift, as your congregational charism?
Sure. I would say there are two things that I'll highlight. There are many more that we don't have time to talk about today, but the two that I will highlight would be from our name, Divine Word. You might guess that our founder, the beloved St. Arnold Jansen, just canonized in 2003, a diocesan priest from Germany who grew up with a great love for the Word of God, and his family back in the 1800s in their part of Germany would read from the Bible after supper. And their favorite passage as a family was John's Gospel chapter 1, what we call the prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And Arnold heard this again and again and again, and was so impressed with the depth of God's love for us that God would want to come very close to us through Jesus and be among us. And he heard this and thought, everyone needs to know this. I want to become a priest and share this good news. So he did. As a priest, he began to believe and realize that there were many people in the world who had not heard this good news. And that was where he first envisioned starting Divine Word. And so our basic charism really is to be missionaries at the service of proclaiming and witnessing the Word of God anywhere and everywhere in the world the Holy Spirit can take us. And that takes a lot of forms, from preaching the Word, printing it, translating it into different indigenous languages, having bookstores and production centers where we can produce the Bible in different languages, but also catechetical materials about the Bible, scholarship in the Bible, teaching people how to do Bible study and faith sharing. That's kind of the overarching foundation for everything that we do. It characterizes the life of every Divine Word missionary to have a very strong devotion to the Word of God. The second aspect of our charism is that we sort of say our tagline, if you will, is that we aim to make the goodness and the kindness of Christ visible in our lives and ministries. We really see ourselves as not just to proclaim the Word made flesh, but to try to become incarnations of Christ for our world, and then to serve the unique needs of the people that we're called and missioned to around the world in whatever way the kingdom of God needs to be strengthened or built or become more visible. So our ministries then take on a great variety and diversity.
And I can really, really identify with that as a Franciscan, and also with the great devotion to the Sacred Heart is the incarnation of God's burning love for each one of us, and following or living the gospel life in not so much in preaching per se, although we do have Franciscan theologians and preachers, but for us it's pretty much the simple, ordinary living out the day-to-day.
For sure.
And hopefully witnessing that to others,
Absolutely.
That joy, right?
Yeah, it's so,
so
true.
So, if we can, depending on the time that we have, and we probably will need to go on a break soon, think about this before we take a break. I would like to find out what would be one, maybe at the most two, would be your most unique or joyful experience. Okay, think about that and then we'll talk about it.
Sounds good.
Thanks, for our listeners, don't touch that dial. We'll be back.
I am ready to begin. Here I am. I come to follow you.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the Cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are three options available for cantors and psalmists, and three offerings available for communion ministers. Take one or take all three. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800.
This is Monsignor Michael Boland for the Voice of Catholic Charities. Every 30 seconds, someone comes to Catholic Charities for help. When that help includes legal needs, our Legal Assistance Department offers a wide range of services to give hope and help to vulnerable clients in need. Whether it's a dispute with a landlord, a concern about possibly being the victim of a scam, or an issue regarding family law, clients can feel alone in the complex legal system if they're unable to afford an attorney. Our volunteer attorneys answer our legal advice line, offer one-hour consultations in their areas of expertise, and conduct legal seminars that help low-income individuals. These volunteer attorneys come when their schedules permit, and they often tell us they are grateful for the opportunity to share what they know with someone in need. If you are an attorney and would like to learn more about this volunteer program, please call 312-948-6821. That's 312-648-6821. Thank you for considering joining this wonderful group of Good Samaritans.
A stranger and a pilgrim in this world. Sometimes I wonder.
And we are back to Dare to Love. This is Sister Lavina with my guest, and actually he's sounding more like my co-host today, Father Adam McDonald.
And hi, Sister Lavina.
So we promised the listeners that we will have Father Adam recount maybe a couple of interesting things, mm-hmm. Either an adventure or something that's unique, mm-hmm. That you have being a missionary.
Sure. Thank you for that question, Sister Lavina. It's really a pleasure to speak about this. The first, I would say, unique experience was being a missionary in the Philippines for 4 years. And during that time, part of my mission took me to the rural highland mountain area of the island of Mindoro, which is home to a significant indigenous population called the Mungyan people. And many people who are familiar with Filipino culture may be very surprised to know that there are any number of indigenous tribes within the Philippines. And it was a surprise to me myself. But upon arriving there, learning that our Divine Word community had been ministering among the people for over 80 years, the vast majority of them now baptized, confirmed, and fully initiated in the church. So I arrive there and think like total missionary. Okay, you're a missionary. You say you want to be one. Well, here you go. Climbing mountains, mud, water buffalo, no electricity, you know, no Wi-Fi.
So you're in the jungle.
You're in the bush, basically, in the jungle. So that was new. So living that lifestyle, and my heart beat with love for the people that I met. They were so simple and yet so profound in their innate sense of trust in God, in God's providence, and their trust in one another to be there to support one another and the community. It was a beautiful experience. And specifically, the adventurous part came in that the Mungyan people, having their own indigenous language, many of them want to learn the national language, Tagalog, so that they can participate more widely in the life of Philippine society and not be so isolated because no one understands their language from the wider Philippine context. And so part of my mission was teaching the Mungyan children to speak Tagalog. So imagine I'm learning Tagalog myself and I'm trying to teach it. Now, granted, it was quite basic, but I thought, wow, I'm really a missionary. So that's one fascinating experience.
So that was your first year in the Philippines?
It was towards the second half of my first year.
Okay. Because you had to learn.
I did. The first 6 months I was in language school, and then I was immediately assigned to do this pastoral mission. So boy, I really got a baptism by fire, as it were, to do that. And then the second experience I'd like to share is more recent. In fact, it's current to this day, and that is the 8 years to date that I've been serving as one of our vocation team and vocation ministers for the Divine Word community since 2011 until now. And the thing that you have to understand is that when I was younger, and just going into formation, when you could like choose or volunteer for different assignments or missions, I would always avoid anything to do with kids and young people. Not my strong suit. I mean, as a kid, I felt like an older soul myself. I didn't fit in with the other kids in that sense. I was always hanging around the older people, the more mature people, and trying to act like one of them. And so I was like, just anything but working with young people. And so being vocation director, I was a little bit intimidated to know that my mission would be to spend time among young people and to reach out to where they are, to go where they gather, and to get to know their language and what mm-hmm. interests them and how God speaks to them.
So you were a missionary. You never had an educational background, correct?
I did not.
Okay. And I think that is a challenge for vocation ministers.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And so the real transformation for me, and this is the adventurous part, which I've come to love very much, and that is that I had pretty much written off the younger generation before I became vocation director, thinking they're so self-involved, they're self-centered, it's all about me, you know, the iPhone generation, I this, I that, everything about I and myself. And literally, Sister Lavina, I have to say, my view of younger people has been revolutionized and transformed. And mm-hmm. now I'm trying to help my older brothers in the community understand that the younger generation has a lot to offer and that they see through a lot of the fads and the trends and what's, you know, trending on social media. And they're looking for what it all means and mm-hmm. what's a sense of purpose. And they want to find a purpose and live for it. So when it comes to generosity and zeal and like willingness to volunteer and mm-hmm. get out there and share their gifts,
wanting to make a change.
Making a change, making a difference, not accepting that the world has to be the way it has mm-hmm. always been and that they're called to be a part of making that difference. That totally inspires me. And it leads me to a lot of adventures. Mm-hmm. Just quickly to say that, for instance, as a kid, I never had the privilege of going to summer camp. And let me tell you, I'm in my late 40s now. And guess what? I spend a week at summer camp every summer with these Catholic kids, jumping in the lake, doing the zip lines. Last year, I got to hear confession in a canoe on the lake. That was amazing.
Wow.
The other was tubing down the river and someone tubes up to me, if that's the right word, and can you hear my confession? And just beautiful experiences of just the generosity and the desire for the meaning and purpose of their lives. And so just leads to a great adventure, and I'm grateful to be part of it.
Wow. So I can see it now because I used to joke about, well, you know, because there are some questions from the young people like,
sure.
You know, can I make my confession over the phone mm-hmm. or can I make my confession over, mm-hmm. you know, like online
right.
or something like that? Now,
right.
I've never heard of,
yes.
you know, like maybe in a canoe or.
Yes. So in the tube, you know, in the inner tubes, we were side by mm-hmm. side, you could say. In the yeah. canoe, we were literally face to face, you know.
Yeah. It was but see, that's
inspiring.
The thing is, yeah. I think there is. Is this because our people our age, mm-hmm. you know, unless you've lived through the times when, like for me, mm-hmm. I think it helps for me to befriend technology mm-hmm. and anything that's new
yes.
because I have been out there. I was a missionary for 2 years with the Redemptorists
mm-hmm.
and somehow the transition from just, you know, getting to know different cultures, it doesn't just include ethnicity.
Correct.
And being a Filipino myself, mm-hmm. I always try to, when you're around, I always say, Father Adam knows more Filipino than we do. And if I'm stuck and I have to use, like, what is that word? Then I usually text you.
You have
go, like,
done that. I usually hope I'd have an answer.
How do you right. say this? How do you say this? You know? Yeah. But the thing is with technology
yeah.
and young people, I mm-hmm. mean, they are native. Mm-hmm. They were born into that.
For sure.
Not everyone, per se, but if I think there's something a study about, like even if the indigenous people,
yes.
those who are born now, and you give them something,
mm-hmm.
the babies can figure it out so mm-hmm. much more quickly
so true.
Than the adults. And there's
Absolutely.
Something about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and that's scientific. So
For sure.
you know, can't question that.
I believe it.
So, what advice can you give? Because you. Recounted your own
yes.
discernment and how
mm-hmm.
people were able to mm-hmm. help you,
mm-hmm.
accompany you.
Absolutely.
What would you give as an advice?
Absolutely.
Not just for adults
yes.
who are around young people,
mm-hmm.
but also to young people
mm-hmm.
with regards to, I guess, thinking about what they want to do in life or choices that they have.
For sure. Thank you so much for asking that. I was hoping that would be one of the questions that comes up because it's something that I've spent the last 8 years devoting my life to helping sort of develop ways and means that I could advise and accompany young people in this regard. So the first is it really benefited me to have people to bounce things off of. So to be sharing what you feel God is doing or calling you to consider with someone or some people in your life. It could be a formal spiritual director, a spiritual companion. It could be a parish priest, as it was in my case, a sister, a brother, a deacon you know in the church, someone who's kind of living that life that you're considering, but not just them. I found my parents to be a great resource. My mother at one point wanted to be a religious sister herself. Mm. I have two brothers out of my family who became diocesan priests. And So, you know, growing up, we kind of inspired each other and would talk about our faith and where it was taking us. And so being able to share with someone and kind of hear yourself and hear what God is telling you as others hear you speak is really helpful. Of course, participating regularly in prayer and the sacraments is really essential. I tend to be pretty bold with God. It's not that I'm telling God what to do. I'm simply telling God what I want to know. It's like, God, I want clarity in my life. Right. I want to please you. I want to serve you.
Sign.
I want to offer this to you. You know, please guide me and you just help me to feel guided in the right direction and to know what it is you want me to give my life to. Mm-hmm. And so obviously developing that sense of prayer and fidelity to the sacraments, and of course, spiritual reading, those kinds of things. Any number of people who've lived this way of life are much more expert than myself to guide people in this way, and they have great tips. But also to really consider deeply, what are your God-given gifts and talents? Mm-hmm. And you've maybe never thought about it before, but why are you good at what you're good at? Why are you gifted at what you're gifted at? And what could God use that for to make a difference in terms of serving the needs of the world? And for me, that's kind
important.
Of like the linchpin, you know, because it's not just about living my gifts and living freely and fully, but in that, offering them to somehow make a difference, to know that I'm serving the needs of others. That's where my own sense of purpose and fulfillment really comes home to me. And then finally, I think you indicated this earlier, kind of like, you know, needing to make a step or take, you know, looking into something or responding to God's call to take concrete steps. You know, today, because we do have the technology, and by and large, even the most monastic contemplative communities are going to have at least a website, if not some social media pages. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have things like Vision Vocation Network online, where you can literally get in contact with or learn about so many different religious communities. Do some research, take advantage of those tools, ask them questions. I'm very sure their vocation directors would be very happy to guide you and respond to your questions. Most communities will have some sort of open event where you can go in and spend time praying with the community, visiting the community, share a meal. It doesn't have to be right out of the, you know, the first step that you make a formal discernment weekend or come and see visit, as we say, but just sort of having that contact and actually visiting a seminary, visiting a convent, that kind of thing. I think those are all very, very essential things to consider.
Yeah. So we have maybe just less than a couple minutes left. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to neglect the fact that actually, in terms of celebration, you mentioned that you're celebrating.
Yes.
You've been, you know, 25 years in terms of your profession.
That's right.
You know, it was, I think I even wrote down a date.
You did.
You know, 25 years ago would have been
correct.
August 20th, 1994.
That is it.
And so congratulations
Thank
for
you.
Your Jubilee anniversary. And you will be celebrating with your family on July 28th and September 7th with your SVD community.
That's right.
And don't forget, we also celebrated you as Kava.
Yes.
On May 29th.
We did. We had a wonderful cake and I was able to celebrate the Mass. It
That's
was beautiful.
Right.
That's right.
So,
thank you so much for doing
so
that.
So we celebrate with you, and hopefully August 29th, which is the celebration of the Kava 40th anniversary, we'll celebrate you again. Because you will be our presider.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Got it on my calendar.
The whole year will be such a blessing,
Amen.
Father Adam. So before we go, though, for people to contact you, can they call you?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be?
That would be 847-644-8320.
Again?
847-644-8320.
And if they want to contact you through your website?
Yes, it would be www.svdvocations.org. SVDvocations.org.
Thank you so much, Father Adam.
You're
it's
welcome.
Been such a pleasure. We got to have you back here.
Thank you so much.
Thank
sister.
You, listeners. We are on every first Thursday of the month from 8 to 8:30. This is Dare to Love. Sister Lavina, God bless you.
My heart sings of the love that I found in you. Creation. Sometimes.
grace to love and to be faithful, to be more like.